Hello, I'm Joan McBride, Deputy Mayor of Kirkland, and I want to talk to you today about a situation that will sooner or later affect us all. That is the ability to live independently in our homes as our physical condition deteriorates and it becomes more and more difficult to do the daily tasks of keeping house. We all want to spend our final years in the independence of our own home, comfortable, familiar, and affordable. The next section of this video shows some ways that you can make small changes to your home that will make it much easier to live in. If you are now physically impaired, or it looks like you might be in the future, these changes may allow you to stay in your home where otherwise you might have to move to assisted living or a nursing home. Before you view the video, I want to urge you to take advantage of Kirkland's excellent fire department and request a free home fire safety inspection by calling 425-587-3650. Ask for a residential inspection. A very courteous fireman will schedule a fire safety inspection of your home at a time and day agreeable to you. The number to call will be repeated at the end of the video, about 30 minutes from now, so have a pencil and paper ready. Now sit back and look at some changes that you can make in your home to make it easier to live there. If you're concerned about how to pay for these changes, wait until the end of the program where there is some information on how to get help with the costs.
Accessible home modifications. This program presents modifications that can be made in a home to increase accessibility and independence for people with disabilities and older people. Inexpensive adaptations, up to $500, include equipment and devices such as grab bars, handrails, light switches, ramps, and door hardware. More expensive structural or site changes may include long ramps or bridges, lift installations, and kitchen and bathroom renovations. There are three terms that are often used interchangeably when speaking of accessibility. However, each term actually describes a distinct design approach for achieving more usable products and environments. It's important to note the differences and to understand that any combination of these approaches might be used in a given application to achieve a more usable environment. Accessible design refers to designing specialized products, buildings, and exterior spaces to mandatory specifications which meet the needs of a target group. For example, a ramp built with a 1 in 12 slope, and a kitchen designed with lower storage, work surfaces, and appliances. Adaptable design refers to designing certain products, buildings, and exterior spaces to include features that can be readily adapted to the needs of particular users. For example, removable base cabinets under sinks and volume controls on public telephones. Universal design refers to designing all products, buildings, and exterior spaces to be used by all people to the greatest extent possible. For example, lever handles on doors and rocker-type light switches. Throughout this program, a universal design approach is emphasized. Everyone benefits from universal design, and therefore, universal design features are a good idea in any home improvement or modification project. Such features are particularly useful for older people who are not disabled, but could benefit from easier-to-use products and environments. This presentation will cover modifications that can be made throughout the home to achieve greater usability, including entrances, doors and doorways, windows, kitchens, bathrooms, housing controls, and stairs. Entrances. An accessible entrance includes an accessible route of travel from parking to the entrance, a covered entryway if possible, and adequate maneuvering space at the door. The exterior route of travel, as shown here, links together parking areas, sidewalks, porches, decks, and entrances to the house. This house has a first floor that is 18 inches above ground level. There are steps leading up to the porch and front door. This house is not unlike many houses you may live in or see in your neighborhood. In fact, many houses have front doors that are 24 to 48 inches above ground level. One way to make this entrance accessible is to build a ramp. However, the maximum recommended slope of a ramp is 1 in 12. This means that for 1 inch of rise, you must have at least 1 foot of ramp. In this example, you would need a ramp 18 feet long to access the 18-inch high porch. There must also be a large landing at the top of the ramp. Clearly, in this case, an 18-foot straight run ramp does not work, as indicated by the intrusion of the ramp into the road. A possible solution is a switchback ramp with an intermediate landing between the two inclines of 8 feet and 10 feet, respectively. 18 feet of the sloped ramp is still provided along with a landing at the door, but in a configuration that better suits the size and location of this lot. This ramp was probably constructed by a family member or a friend, perhaps even on a temporary basis. There are several critical mistakes in this ramp which are often made by do-it-yourselfers. First, there is no level maneuvering space at the front door. Second, there are no railings on the ramp. Third, there is no edge protection on the ramp to prevent a person using a wheelchair or other mobility aid from dropping off the side. Lastly, the design of the ramp is unattractive and could potentially decrease the value of the property. This is the same entrance with the mistakes corrected. A level platform was added at the door, handrails and balusters were added for safety, and the style of the porch, railings, and ramp were made to be more consistent with the house. It's important to consider modifications that include site amenities, such as yards and gardens on the accessible route if possible. This gently sloping wood ramp leads from a deck at the back of the house to the backyard. An alternative approach to a ramp is to use earthwork and grading of the exterior site to create a level accessible entrance. The earth is moved to create a berm on which a concrete walk is placed. The berm is kept in place and away from the house by a retaining wall of treated wood or masonry. A level deck is then constructed to span between the entrance and the high point of the berm. The result is an unobtrusive, gently sloping pathway and completely accessible entrance. Note there are handrails on the bridge deck, but none are needed on the pathway because of the gentle slope. At this house, a nicely designed and landscaped alternative pathway was added to provide accessible entrance through the front door. A gently sloping concrete pathway leads off to the right and around the side of the porch. The top of the pathway is level with the porch for easy access. Creating an alternative route of travel to a level entrance is often the best solution and allows the homeowner to preserve the integrity of the original design of the house as well. This is a typical mobile or manufactured home that has an inaccessible entrance. A possible solution to this problem is to construct a level deck or bridge that spans from the entrance to the mobile home to a high point in the sloped terrain. This is a good example of how to effectively work with sloped terrain on a site. On a small urban lot, where the entrance is close to the street, creating a level entrance or adding a ramp may be impossible. Here, the entrance to the house is approximately 3.5 feet above the ground, and the lot is too small to accommodate the 42-foot-long ramp that would be required to make it accessible. The solution in this case was to install a vertical platform wheelchair lift. In order to do this, the large tree in the front yard and part of the side porch were removed. The floor of the porch was also raised to provide a level entrance at the door. Fortunately, the porch and lift are under an overhanging roof that protects both the equipment and the person using it from the weather. Decorative treatment, such as shrubbery, is needed here to soften the appearance of this installation. Another crucial element in providing accessibility within the house is an accessible route of travel that links together entrances, rooms, and other parts of the house. The route includes widened doorways and halls, low or no threshold, and adequate maneuvering space around furniture and appliances. The circles on this plan represent 5-foot diameter turning spaces that allow greater maneuverability in major areas. Doors and doorways. Accessible doors should be operable with a minimum amount of effort. You may test the amount of effort required to open a door by trying to open it using only your little finger. If you succeed, the amount of effort required is acceptable. Door handles should be operable without grasping. Accessible doorways should have a 32-inch minimum clear opening. The threshold should be flush with the floor surface, 1/2 inch maximum, and there should be adequate floor space in front and on both sides of the door for opening and closing. Doors designed to open with minimal force allow people with limited strength, such as children, older people, and people with various disabilities, to more easily open the door. Accordion doors can be a good solution for small spaces because they do not take up floor space with door swings. An accordion door installed in most standard door openings, however, will result in a clear opening width that is less than the required 32 inches because the folded door remains in the doorway. In order to provide the 32-inch clear opening, the doorway may need to be widened before installation of the accordion door. Pocket doors, or doors that slide into the wall, are also a viable solution for accessibility in some cases. As with accordion doors, there is no door swing to get in the way and take up clear space in the doorway. There are, however, potential problems with pocket doors that must be considered. First, the recessed latch pull is difficult for many people to operate. A possible solution to this problem is to add a loop handle on the end of the door, as shown here. A recess must be provided in the opposing door jamb to accommodate this handle when the door is closed. Another disadvantage is that the hardware provided in most low-cost units is low quality and subject to high maintenance and repair, particularly in high-use areas. An effective solution for doorways that are just barely too narrow is to replace the existing hinge with swing hinges. The swing hinges allow the entire door to swing out of the doorway. This increases the size of the doorway opening by the thickness of the door, about 1.5 to 1.75 inches, a small amount that can make a critical difference under the right circumstances. Along with the minimum 32-inch clear doorway, there should also be at least 18 inches to 24 inches clear floor space on the latch side of the door to allow a person using a wheelchair or other mobility aid to move out of the swing of the door as it is pulled open. The maximum threshold allowable at an exterior doorway is 1/2 inch with a beveled edge. The threshold shown here is a commercially available saddle-type threshold with a beveled edge. Interior doorways should not have thresholds. This shows a common problem experienced with sliding glass door thresholds. A relatively simple solution is to install a transition wedge or mini ramp at the threshold to facilitate easier passage for people who use wheelchairs, canes, walkers, or other mobility aids. The wedge can be constructed from treated lumber and should have a non-slip finish. People who have limited use of their hands may have difficulty using traditional doorknobs that require grasping and turning. Lever-type handles are easy for just about everyone, including people who cannot grasp or twist. They require very little pressure to operate and are now commercially available in a variety of decorative styles and colors. A large loop handle is another type of hardware that is easier to use and works particularly well for people who have limited hand control and strength. To operate, one simply inserts a hand or an arm through the loop and pulls the door open. There are a number of add-on or adaptable devices, such as this one, that turn a round doorknob into a lever door handle. Such devices appeal to many people as an easy and temporary solution. They are not always the best buy for the money, however. In most cases, the cost of the add-on device is comparable to the cost of a new lever set, so replacing the door hardware is no more expensive and much more attractive. Many people who use wheelchairs or other mobility aids have difficulty closing doors behind them because they cannot reach the knob or handle. A simple, low-cost solution is the addition of an auxiliary loop handle, like those used on drawers and kitchen cabinets, on the pull side of the door near the hinge edge. As shown here, the loop is easily reached as this woman passes through the open doorway. She then pulls the door closed behind her. These handles are available in a variety of sizes and colors wherever cabinet hardware is sold. People who have limited or no use of their arms and hands or diminished strength may not be able to operate manual doors without assistance. Commercially available automatic power door operators may be installed on residential doors to provide for more independence. Windows. Accessible windows should have adequate clear floor space around them for approaching and operating them. Window locks and operators should be easy to open with one hand and should be located within comfortable reach. Windows should be placed at heights that allow easy viewing and operating from a seated position. Casement and awning windows that are opened with a crank-type operator are easier for most people to use than the more traditional push-up windows because they can be opened with one hand. The crank should be within easy reach and clear floor space should be provided around the window. In this case, the window is placed a little high for this young man. People who have limited or no use of their arms or hands cannot manually operate any type of window. Fortunately, there are now small power operators available for some casement and awning windows that provide automatic opening and closing capability. The electrical mechanism can be operated by remote control. Kitchens. Features of an accessible kitchen include clear floor space around and in front of appliances, knee space under sinks and cooktops, front-mounted controls on appliances, easy-to-use lever controls at the sink, variable height work surfaces, pull-out drawers and shelves in cabinets, and loop handle pulls on drawers and cabinet doors. Clear, usable floor space is essential in an accessible kitchen. Turning or maneuvering space for wheelchairs and scooters is also necessary, particularly in a narrow, U-shaped kitchen such as this. A minimum 5-foot diameter turning space, as shown here, is needed. A person using a wheelchair or other mobility aid may find it easier to access appliances and counters from a forward position, while others may prefer a side approach. Often, the size of the kitchen will determine which approach is possible. Here, a 30-inch by 48-inch clear floor space is provided out into the room to allow forward access to the stove. Note the placement of the controls on the front of the stove. This provides for safer and easier operation of the stove and oven. A parallel or side approach to appliances is facilitated by providing the 30-inch by 48-inch clear floor space in front of the appliance, centered on the appliance, as shown here. In some cases, a cooktop with knee space underneath may prove to be a viable access solution. The cook's needs and abilities should be carefully assessed, however, before choosing a cooktop such as this. The risk of accidental spills into the lap of the seated cook is greater with this arrangement, and a person with limited mobility may have difficulty moving out of the way. Traditional refrigerator-freezer combinations with a single door and the freezer on top are difficult to use by people who use wheelchairs or have limited reach. A more accessible option is a side-by-side refrigerator freezer that provides more storage space on the shelves and doors within an easy 18-inch to 54-inch high range. Pull-out shelves, available in some refrigerators, also provide for easier access. This is a fully adaptable kitchen that works well for just about everyone. Note the open floor plan and clear floor space. A good example of adaptable design, this kitchen includes a removable base cabinet under the sink, slide back doors and a roll-out storage unit in the cabinet beside the oven, and variable height counters. The lowered counter on the right can be used as a workspace or an eating surface and is accessible and usable by children and people who use wheelchairs. The cabinet doors and frame under this sink are removable. This view shows the doors open and the storage space below that can be used if wheelchair access is not needed. The doors and frame, which were simply snapped into place under the sink, are easily removed. Once the frame is removed, the sink and dishwasher are more accessible to this woman who uses a wheelchair. To prevent bruises and burns on her legs, an attractive wood apron was installed under the sink to cover the otherwise exposed pipes and garbage disposal. A single lever faucet, easily used by all, was also installed at the sink. Roll-out storage units increase flexibility and storage space in a kitchen designed for accessibility. Older people and others who have diminished strength and stamina also may use units such as this as shopping carts around the kitchen. They may gather necessary items in the cart before rolling it to a table or a sit-down counter where they can more easily and comfortably work. Note the cabinet doors that slide back into the cabinet out of the way. Once the rollout cart is removed and the doors are slid back into position, the open cabinet provides clear floor space for an easier and safer side approach to the stove and oven. The knee space under the counter also provides easier access to the countertop where a microwave oven might be placed, and to the cabinets above. Another inexpensive and easy adaptation is to place a cutting board across an open drawer to create an accessible cutting or work surface. Pull-out cutting boards are another option for creating variable height work surfaces or counter space. A feature that used to be more common, the pull-out surface is a relatively easy addition to make in an existing kitchen. In this case, this adaptable feature allows all family members to help in the kitchen. Access to storage space is often a problem for everyone, and particularly for people who have difficulty bending or reaching. Pull-out shelves in cabinets and pantries are a nice solution that provide better access and more storage space. Easier to use by everyone, pull-out shelves are now a common option on many cabinets. Inexpensive wire-type storage shelves hung on cabinet doors greatly increase the access of conventional cabinets as well. Bathrooms. Features of an accessible bathroom include ample clear floor space around toilets, tubs, and lavatories. A lavatory placed at a reachable height with knee space underneath. Grab bar blocking in the walls around toilets, tubs, and showers. Easy to use controls at faucets. Offset controls in tubs and showers. Grab bars around toilets and tubs as needed. Adjustable height shower head with handheld shower option. And anti-scald mixer valves in tubs and showers. An accessible bathroom must be large enough to provide not only a 5-foot diameter turnaround and maneuvering space, but also access to each fixture. The 5-foot diameter can extend under the lavatory area if necessary to facilitate entering and exiting. Maneuvering space around each fixture must be considered separately. Correct placement of the toilet and grab bars allow the toilet to be used by a wider range of users, including people who use wheelchairs and other mobility aids, as well as those who require assistance from an attendant. Toilets should be placed 18 inches from the sidewall, measuring to the center line of the toilet, and there must be sufficient clear floor space provided to the front and side of the toilet for transferring and maneuvering. Grab bars should be installed according to the individual's needs. The most commonly used grab bar is the wall-mounted bar, as shown here. All walls must be properly reinforced before grab bars are installed. In some cases, a floor-mounted grab bar may be the best solution. In rooms where the sidewall cannot be reinforced, a floor-mounted bar may serve the purpose. It is important to know that grab bars are made from many types of materials and are available in a variety of colors. Institutional-looking stainless steel is no longer the only option. Another option is the fold-down grab bar. Again, this may be a viable solution when the toilet is placed beside a sidewall that cannot be reinforced. It is also a solution when a grab bar is needed and there is no adjacent sidewall, as shown here. The fold-down bar, in this case, complements the wall-mounted bars to provide grab bar support on both sides of the toilet. The back wall, of course, was reinforced before installation. Here is an example of a small bathroom with limited maneuvering space and access to fixtures. The limited space and the cabinet under the lavatory impede this young man's use of his bathroom. A short-term, quick change for this bathroom is to remove the vanity cabinet below and remount the counter surrounding the lavatory basin. This provides access to the lavatory as well as maneuvering space in the bathroom. A single lever faucet is also added. In this case, however, the unfinished nature of the modification is potentially hazardous to those who use the bathroom. The sharp edges of the counter extend unprotected into clear floor space, and the pipes are exposed. Some of the finishing touches that could be added can be seen in this view of another bathroom. Here, the edges of the lavatory counter are rounded, and the pipes are covered with an attractive wood panel apron that protects the user's knees and legs from bruises and burns. Easy-to-operate faucets are single-lever and blade or paddle styles. They can be operated without gripping and require minimum strength or fine motor control. These styles are now common in kitchens and bathrooms and are commercially available where kitchen and bath fixtures are sold. Bathtubs are not particularly safe or accessible for anyone, but there are certain adaptations that can be made to make bathing easier for everyone. The placement of grab bars around the tub, the use of offset controls and adjustable height handheld showers, and the provision of clear floor space along the open side of the tub are important accessible features to consider. This view shows a conventional tub with an extended built-in transfer seat with sufficient clear floor space, grab bars, and offset controls. This conventional tub with an extended transfer seat built in at the rear is a useful option for people who prefer full immersion into the tub. This woman transfers from her wheelchair to the seat. She then lowers herself into the tub using the grab bars and the side of the tub for support. People who have strong upper body strength but limited or no use of their legs may prefer this type of tub. The seat may be added to a conventional tub, but adequate floor space is needed for the addition and maneuvering space. For many people, full immersion into the tub is not an option. Sponge baths and showers, however, are still a possibility using a conventional bathtub. There are a number of tub seats and benches available today that facilitate the use of the tub. One example shown here is a seat that folds down from the wall and rests on the sides of the tub. This option, known as a fold-down seat, allows one to sit and take a sponge bath or a shower using the handheld shower. A more common solution is the portable tub seat or bench. Different kinds of seats are available. Some are made of hard plastic, others have padded seats. Some have arms and backs, others are benches. This particular seat includes a waterproof padded back and seat, as well as a bench that extends outside the tub for easier transfer. Another way to enjoy full immersion in the tub is through the use of a hydraulic tub seat lift that lowers and raises a person in and out of the tub using a water-powered lift mechanism. The seat pivots to allow for easy transfers. A portable tub-mounted grab bar is a viable option for a temporary situation or as an additional support on the open side of the tub. Available in a variety of colors, these grab bars are attached to the tub rim by a combination of clamps, screws, or suction cups. The bar should be mounted securely and should not wobble. As mentioned earlier, it is beneficial to install offset controls in tubs and showers. As illustrated here, this young woman is better able to operate the faucet using the controls that are placed left of the center. Note also, she is using the knee space under the lavatory as clear floor space that allows her access to the tub controls. Many people prefer to use a shower stall. Shower stalls with no curbs to step over are easier for everyone to use. This is a curbless 3-foot by 3-foot transfer shower with a padded fold-down transfer seat, grab bars, and a handheld shower. The design allows a person to sit while showering, and the L-shaped design of the seat allows a person who may not have good balance to support themselves by leaning up against the wall. This stall is too small to accommodate a wheelchair and is best for people who can transfer or are ambulatory but need to sit while showering. This shower stall is a curbless, tiled, roll-in shower big enough to accommodate this young man in his waterproof shower chair. It includes grab bars, an easy-to-reach control, a handheld shower, and a slightly sloping floor that allows for drainage. The dimensions of roll-in showers vary, but a 5-foot by 5-foot stall provides complete turnaround space for a wheelchair and ample room for an attendant if one is needed. Roll-in showers are also available in acrylic and fiberglass modular units that come complete with grab bars and removable handheld shower heads. Such units, however, may not be the best solution. As a rule, the largest size available is 4 feet by 4 feet, and many prefab units are shipped in one piece, which is sometimes difficult to install in existing bathrooms. Grab bar blocking in these units should be carefully checked and verified before installation. An adjustable height shower head is another universal design feature that is beneficial to everyone. The height of the shower head is changed by sliding it up or down the wall-mounted bar. It is secured at the desired height by a screw clamp or by friction. The shower head is also removable. As we have seen, grab bars are often placed around toilets, tubs, and showers to provide grasping support. Grab bars must be mounted securely to support 250 pounds maximum weight in any direction. In order to ensure this, many walls must be reinforced with solid wood blocking. This blocking should be installed behind the wall around fixtures to provide the necessary structural anchorage. Controls and operating mechanisms. The accessibility of controls and operating mechanisms can be achieved in a number of ways. Accessible controls should be easy to operate with little or no fine motor control and should be placed within easy reach. Operating controls on appliances should be easily readable and understandable. Multiple sensory signals should be included on control units such as thermostats. Light switches should be positioned no higher than 48 inches above floor level if there is unobstructed access. If access is obstructed by a counter or furniture, for example, switches should be positioned no higher than 44 inches above floor level. Electrical outlets should be placed no lower than 18 inches above floor level, so people who use wheelchairs and those who have difficulty bending can reach them more easily. Light switches and electrical outlets located on the face of cabinets allow all people to use them more easily without reaching. This is a particularly useful feature for people who use wheelchairs or have difficulty with balance. Rocker-type switches, shown here, are becoming increasingly popular. These switches can be easily operated with a closed fist, a palm, or any other body part, and require no fine motor control. Rocker switches can be installed anywhere traditional switches are used. Thermostats and other environmental control units should be placed no higher than 48 inches and should have easy-to-read dials and multiple sensory signals for people who are blind or have low vision. The operating controls on appliances, such as microwave ovens, conventional ovens and stoves, dishwashers, and washers and dryers, should be readable and understandable. High contrast white lettering on a dark background is preferred for people with low vision. Raised letters and numbers and simultaneous auditory signals are also helpful. Level changes. Many houses have multiple levels accessible only by stairs. Accessible modifications that provide access between levels include residential elevators, stair glides, and wheelchair stair lifts. Because such modifications can be costly, all other possible solutions and modifications should be carefully considered first. For people who may have difficulty walking upstairs, a mechanical chair-type stair lift may be installed. Frequently used by people with limited use of their legs, these lifts can also be used by wheelchair users who are able to transfer to the lift. With this type of lift, a wheelchair is needed on each level. Mechanical, electrically powered platform lifts are designed to carry a person in a wheelchair from one floor to another. Some models can even go around corners and be operated with handheld controls mounted onto the chair. If you have questions about accessible home modifications and require technical assistance, call the Center for Universal Design at 800-647-6777.
Now that you have seen what can be done, your first step is to get your home assessed. The following names and contact information are provided for informational purposes only. This information does not constitute a recommendation or endorsement by the City of Kirkland. If you want a fire safety inspection, call the Kirkland Fire Department at 425-587-3650 and ask for a residential inspection. If you have home health care authorized, contact your visiting nurse and ask for a safety survey of your home. Here are the phone numbers for the main home health care organizations in Kirkland. Evergreen Home Health Care, 425-899-3300. Providence Home Services, 425-391-2848. Maxim Home Health, 425-643-0200. If you are Medicaid eligible, call King County Senior Services at 206-448-3110 and ask for a safety survey of your home. If you have private health insurance, an HMO, or Medicare, contact your health care provider and ask for an assessment of your home given your physical condition. The following organizations may accept Medicare. Evergreen Hospice, 425-899-1040. Gentiva Health Services, 1-877-647-7007. Visiting Nurse Services of the Northwest, 1-800-449-2221. If you have no insurance, or if your health care provider tells you that assessment of your home is not covered under your insurance, please contact one of the following organizations and ask for a free assessment of your home. Adaptations Incorporated, 206-417-2227. Adaptive Installations, 206-762-1969. Rebuilding Together East Side, 425-455-0179. These for-profit organizations will accept Medicare for home assessment. Julene Davidson, OTR, 206-729-9949. Risa Velwar, OTR, ATP, CDRS, business name ProVail, 206-826-1067. An important part of home modification is paying for it. We have listed some organizations that can help you with information, free work with an income test, or financial assistance. The Washington Assistive Technology Association, 206-328-5116. AARP Washington, 1-866-227-7457. Rebuilding Together East Side, 425-455-0179. Habitat for Humanity East Side, 425-869-6007. National, state, and local governments can help you with information, advice, referrals, and cautions. We have listed internet websites for many of them. National Aging in Place Council, 202-939-1784. National Aging Network Elder Care Locator, 1-800-677-1116. The state of Washington has several agencies that can help you. Aging and Disability Services Administration, 1-800-422-3263. Washington Association of Area Agencies on Aging, 360-570-2239. Senior Resources Website, www.seniorresource.com/house.htm. County, city, and private agencies can help you with information, advice, referrals, and cautions. Senior Services, 206-448-3110. Crisis Clinic Caregiver Services, 206-461-3222. AARP Washington, 1-866-227-7457. There are many organizations in our area that can help you with your home modifications. We have listed only a few. If you are overwhelmed, we suggest you start with Senior Services, 206-448-3110, or Evergreen Healthline, 425-899-3000, and tell them what you want to do. They will put you in touch with a proper organization. We hope this presentation has made you aware of changes you can make to your home so living is easier for you and to allow you to stay in your home longer. Be assured that you can get help in choosing modifications, having them installed, and in some cases, paying for them. Thank you for your attention.